Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Community Connections with me, Dave Chatsmith. It's Tuesday, and of course, I've got Claire, the garden editor, on the telephone. Morning to you, Claire.
Good morning. Good morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you? You all right?
I'm very well. We're in the middle of another mini heat wave. So,
yeah, are you
as
enjoying
gardeners,
the weather?
we're never. I love this weather for working in. Like all gardeners, I'm never perfectly happy. It's still a bit on the dry side,
I
but
don't
you
know if
know
that's a
what? I
gardener
will
thing.
take it. I don't know. Is it a British thing? Is it a Basingstoke thing? Tell us, listeners, what do you think? Are we ever happy with the weather? I'm not quite sure we are.
A British thing, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. We'll be talking today about quite topical, really, boxing.
It is. We're going to be talking about boxing, and not boxing, which I hear tell there was a big match on at the weekend. Not that kind of boxing. We're going to talk about boxwood, because box, or Latin alert, Buxus sempervirens, is a really, really popular shrub, hedging shrub, used for all that posh topiary you see in these National Trust places. But there's a really big problem with it. In fact, there's two really big problems. And these are... What can we do about the long-term future of this plant? Because it's under attack from two different sources. So first off, we've been living with something called box blight for quite a few years now, and this is where it gets attacked by a fungus, which is carried in the air, and it causes huge parts of the plant to die back with really black strips down the stem and loads of white spores. And you can kind of deal with it by cutting it back hard and keeping the plant hygiene really well. But that was kind of like challenge one for us gardeners. And then in about 2011 or thereabouts, we started to notice something called box moth caterpillar. And this is where climate change gets real. This is a moth which was imported all the way from East Asia, we think. And it's got no known natural predator in this country. So it eats, and almost exclusively eats, on box wood, on the little leaves of box plants. And so if you've got box moth caterpillar, it can really decimate a plant in a matter of hours, practically. You can kind of come out and see your entire plant just be covered and covered and covered in these caterpillars and this webbing and this kind of frass. That frass is the posh word that people use for caterpillar poo, but you know, that's just between friends. And so it's a real problem, not just for us gardeners in our own gardens, but for really big properties like historic properties. And so I thought we'd just do a little bit of a download on what we can do to tackle the problems and some good alternatives that we are finding which are more resilient to the problems that box have
I
had.
suppose with those
Should
caterpillars,
we
then there's not a natural way of getting rid of them, is there?
well that's
At the
the truth.
moment.
I mean, at the moment, we've been really struggling. So first off, what you would normally say if you've got any pests is just to pick it off by hand. But the problem is these caterpillars are so numerous that, you know, you could pay grandchildren day in, day out to pick these off. But there are just so many of them, because they breed so prolifically, you are almost fighting a losing battle. However, if you just have one or two very small box plants and you can see them all and you can keep an eye on them, that would be the first thing to do, is to pick them off by hand. Birds don't eat enough. We had big hopes in the start to think maybe the blue tits and other birds would like start to feast on them, but no chance. I did try this at my parents' house. Their next door neighbour's got box moth caterpillar infestation. I did get some and put them on the bird feeder. No, we don't like this stuff. Thank you very much. So the blue tits. So that's not
It's like
working.
caviar. Must be like caviar to birds, then, it's because
Yeah,
you're a
I don't know. It's
bit too
just an
posh,
acquired
isn't it?
taste. It's just, yeah, you know, it. You know, it's an acquired taste, clearly, but it's not for our native birds,
So
unfortunately.
in Asia, then,
So,
how do they get rid of it in Asia?
well, there will be different birds, there'll be different predators and different cycles over there. So
Okay.
that's the thing that we're finding with climate change and kind of global migration patterns. There are two things which have been trialed. First one is pheromone traps, which are basically hormone traps to try and stop the moth, the caterpillars and the moths breeding, to basically trap the male moths into thinking the female moths are around, but in fact it's just fake chemicals. That's had some success, as has some successes of spraying with a product called Zentari. I'm sure other products are available, but that's what people have been using to spray. The thing is, it's incredibly time consuming, because you have to apply it on a pretty much on a weekly basis. is obviously expensive because we're a bit of a captive market. And in fact, one of my clients was spending over £500 a year,
Wow.
let alone his time on buying this product and spreading it and spraying it. And, you know, we were fighting a losing battle. So that's what you can do for the box moth caterpillar. If you have box blight, you can try and mitigate it by cutting it down really hard and getting lots of air around the plant because it's fungal spores. So giving everything a nice, good, clean mulch and letting it regrow, you know, keeping it well watered but well aerated so there's good airflow around the plant. And that way you can kind of increase its vigor and its ability to fight off box blight. But those are the two strands we're facing. So across the UK, many horticulturists have been doing lots of experiments and lots of learning on what we can think about the alternatives. So I thought I would give my kind of top five or six alternatives that you can use, and I'll give you a bit of a kind of a pro and con of each of them. And I'll put up some pictures later in the week when I get to be near my phone or near a computer again, because I'm kind of out and about most of these days in this lovely planting weather.
Yeah, making the most
So,
of it.
oh, absolutely, the plants are flying into the ground, and my back is aching like nobody's business. So let's crack on. So the first great alternative for box is something called Taxus baccata. This is yew, good old evergreen yew. You will see it massive in churchyards, but you can also make it keep it really, really small. It's dark. It's got small conifer-like leaves, which means it's really good for topiary if you want to kind of cut it and make it look really, really nice and trim. Downside, it doesn't like poor drainage. So if you have clay or waterlogged or boggy soil, yew is not for you, but if you've got good drainage, it's a cracking plant, relatively cheap, easy to propagate, so a good alternative. If you are looking for something else, we are the closest we're seeing in terms of kind of leaf form and that nice boxy shape that you get with box plants is something called euonymus. And euonymus, there's a bit of foreign words coming in here, Dave, so don't panic. Green spire or Jean Hugues. Jean Hugues is Jean Hughes. So you'll see it written as Jean Hughes, but it's a French one. So we call it Jean Hugues if you're feeling a bit posh. And these are really great if you want a nice low hedge. So they only grow, you know, 30, 40, 50 centimeters high. That's about maybe up to a foot. So if you want something slow growing, nice and easy, doesn't require too much clipping, can cope with a bit of waterlogging, looks nice and formal, euonymus is a really good bet for you. So those are two good ones. A nice posh one that I've been using on a few plants recently is Japanese holly. And this it looks like a bit like a holly. It's got spiky leaves, but it's really glossy and it's got those pretty berries that you get if you have the right kind of hollies pairing with each other. And it has flowers as well. So if you're looking for something with a bit more interest and a bit more variety through the year, Ilex crinata, Japanese holly, is great. And the good thing about this is you can get it trimmed into cones, into spires, into that kind of pom-pom balls, which is what I've been planting recently. So you can get it. It's kind of very well established in this country. So, you know, there's a good range of different types of shapes and spaces that it comes in. And a bit like the euonymus, it's good all round. It can cope with a bit of waterlogging. It can cope with a bit of poor soil. They both like pretty good soil, I would say. So kind of like your 7 or 8 out of 10 type of soils. But, you know, they won't cope with something super, super dry and really, really poor in terms of kind of soil health and soil depth. Excuse me. So coming on to what happens, I can hear listeners saying, but what should I plant if I've got really, really poor soil and I need something for my front garden? Well, front gardens quite often can be very stony. The soil can be quite poor and compacted because, you know, we in our front gardens, maybe you've got a car which has driven over bits and pieces, you know, the soil has washed away a bit. If you have that type of soil in your front garden and it's quite sunny, hedge germander is brilliant. Hedge germander is called, technical name is Teucrium cross lucidris, which is a
Excellent.
bit of a
Yeah.
mouthful.
I'm going to remember that down at B&Q and all.
Teucrium. I've got two plants. We're planting out some at the moment, and they're brilliant. They love all their Latin names, but can they pronounce and can they remember Toot Cream Crossley
Yeah.
Sidris? Absolutely not. And do
And
you know what? I don't blame them.
if you went down to B&Q and asked them, they'd probably just give you a blank look anyway, as if so
They
what.
would, but I tell you what, if you put into Google or any alternative search engine, Hegemander, it will come up. This is what King Charles, when he was prince, planted at Highgrove. So when box blight first hit Highgrove, this is what King Charles
I
planted.
see, because he had
So,
some inside information, didn't he?
he was already ahead of the game, thinking about box and alternatives, a good while period of time before other people were. So Hegemander is great for poor soils. It likes free draining poor soils in full sun. And the lovely thing about it is you can clip it and make it all nice and neat, but it's also got lots of lovely little pink flowers in the summer. So you can let it flower and then clip it and having it look really nice and smart for autumn, winter, spring, and then have it in a flowering season as well, which is great for the bees and the pollinators. The other one, which is really good for those kind of drier conditions and those warmer conditions, are hebes. Hebes are kind of like spreading little moundy plants, and they have very tiny, tiny, tiny little leaves. So I wouldn't plant hebes if you want to do lots of huge, if you want to make a sculpture of a horse lifestyle from a plant, I wouldn't recommend hebes because you'll be there for a month of Sundays doing all your nice, neat little trimming. So it's good for kind of low mounding areas. It's great in front gardens if you just want kind of like little low moundy areas to kind of cover the ground. It has little white flowers which come in late spring, early summer. The one thing we do know about some hebes is if we get those really, really cold snaps, like, do you remember 2 or 3 years ago? Do you remember that really cold winter?
Yeah, well, I don't think we're over the worst of it yet. Even this
No.
year, because I know next, this week's meant to be quite nice, but next week, I don't know so much.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it? Well, that's what we're living in, kind of a climate uncertainty
That's
time.
right.
But if we get really, really cold, deep frosts, that -5, -10, we
Yeah.
do find that hebes and pittosporum, which were our other great hopes for box alternatives, really don't like that. And they can really, really die back. So that is the one thing to watch out for hebes, that if you've got a bit of a frost pocket going on, a cold area which is cooler than most the rest of your garden, I wouldn't be putting that in. If you do have one of those areas and you do have poor soil and it might be really quite cold as well, Lonicera nitidia is my final recommendation for you. This is kind of shrubby honeysuckle, and it goes like the clappers, I'll be perfectly frank. It's not a plant which is particularly fussy. It might not win, the best looking newcomer of the year 2025 award, but she's a really hard working plant. And if you've got a large area to cover, Lonicera nitidia, tiny leaves, pretty much evergreen, absolutely fine. The one thing to watch is if you let it get really, really big, you can find it gets a bit woody and you lose all that nice evergreen coverage. So it's one of these ones where you can hack it back, Dave. Remember we did all about pruning and, trying to get things at the right time? This is the one where you just chuck that book out the window. You can hack her back as hard as you like and she
Everything
will
you
come
learn, just throw out the window. Don't worry about that.
back.
Just cut it
Indeed,
back as far
indeed.
as you can. That's all right, yeah.
Exactly, practically to the ground, Lonicera, and it will come back. But that's another one if you've got a large area and you just think, I just need some nice evergreen hedge covering. So I know that's a bit of a canter through, but we get lots of questions about this when I kind of go out and do talks to horticultural societies. And it's a big worry because, it's one of those boxwood is one of those really hardworking plants that we would miss if we didn't have it or didn't have an alternative to it. So pretty much most gardens or nearby gardens will have box. So look out for those symptoms, look out for those signs. I wouldn't advise planting box nowadays, but if you do have it, try those remedial actions. And if those don't work, maybe one of those solutions will work for you for alternative plants.
There you go. Some good advice there from you, Claire. And I'm sure that it's going to put a few people's minds at rest if they've got that plant. If not, if there's a few alternatives they can go for there, isn't there?
And I will later on, I will put all those lists down on the internet somewhere so people can
Yeah.
find them easily. Because I do realize that people are probably scrabbling for pens and thinking, I can't, she's talking too fast again. I
Yeah.
can't
How'd you
understand what that
spell
is.
that? How'd you
How'd
spell
you
that?
spell
Yeah.
that?
All right, well,
Indeed,
before
indeed.
we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks' time, but before we go on in, what's your track for today? What's your track for the
Well,
day?
I've been trying to shoehorn this one forever, Dave. I'm not going to lie. And I know we've had the London Marathon as well, and we've
Oh
had
yeah, we
boxing
have.
matches. So I thought,
Yeah.
well, we really need an uplifting beat. So I thought, let's go with a boxing theme for Boxwood, and let's have a theme tune to Rocky. That's going to
All
have
right.
I'm Gonna Fly by Bill Conti.
Do you know what? When I'm going to play this, everyone's going to start running up the stairs now. And when they get to the
Run up those
top, when they
stairs.
get to the top, they're
Run up
going
those
to
stairs
punch in the
with your
air, aren't they,
Boxwood
and
plant.
everything. That's right. Okay. All right. Well, I'll put on for you in a couple of minutes. Thank you very much for joining me, and I will speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Speak to you soon then, Dave. Take
Thanks
care.
very
Bye-bye.
much. Bye-bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.